One today is Thursday, July 23rd, 2026, and this is the week and charts. Obviously, we thank all you guys and girls for being here. I appreciate you taking time to attend. If you can't find the show, davelater.com/webinar. I'm having some issues still with the loading of when you put your information in. So make sure you go down and look for the link and click on the direct link. This has been a problem for about a year. So it's the software companies. I love these upgrades. Anyway, before I digress too far, what are we talking about? Well, current market conditions, I'll have a lot to say about that, believe me. Your questions on trading, your favorite stock in crypto. I'm going to continue, of course, with methodology and action. There's not a lot to talk about because I haven't taken a lot of action lately, and that's one of the secrets to trading is knowing when not to act. And every morning I wake up and I seem to write a few words about that. But that is a secret, is knowing when to act. And one thing I'm working on is like, why would you pay me to tell you not to do anything? Well, I wish somebody would have told me 20, 30 years ago when not to do anything. I want to get back to what I was talking about not that long ago about the fat lady singing and a little bit about market timing and how market timing is less about beating the market and more about not letting the market beat you. Feel free to punch any questions in you may have. And then we could also punch in any stock picks or crypto picks when we take a look at it. And when we get to the live charts, we'll take a look at those. Thank you, Eugene. Appreciate that. This disclaimer screen, as you know, you can lose money trading, or as often sum it up, all predictions are about the future. And a lot of stuff could happen between now and then. That's Greg Morris. Here's my contact information. You can also reach me at dave@davelandry.com. As I would say, Ganajam, again, the missing piece is actually seeing someone make actual trades. And then also, more importantly, the seeing the ups and the downs of the trader. And one of my long-term clients just called me right before the webinar and we chatted up a little bit. And I told him, I was like, that's the first time I felt normal in weeks. We were both like this crazy, you know, the crazy markets on the way up, and the chop and everything else. And I don't really have anybody to talk to, you know, so it's nice to talk to some of you guys. And it just makes you feel normal. And that's, I think, the hardest part of this business is sometimes you feel abnormal, you feel lonely, you feel like it could only be you. But believe me, we all go through the same ups and downs. But anyway, seeing other traders go through those things really was the godsend for me. And I ended up doing a lot of research and analysis for these traders, stock picking for them and on. I was able to learn on their dime, which was really just a fascinating and wonderful thing. I have on my, that's a bet, that's not a good sign shirt. You can't see it here. Award for today. I thought it would come out on camera, but it doesn't. It's a little stick figure pointing to a bad sign and saying that's not a good sign. So that's kind of where we are today. Here's the mystery chart. It's still a mystery chart. It's a little long in the tooth. With IPOs, sometimes I tend to be a little bit more lenient, kind of look at them a little bit more bigger picture wise. With a pullback in general, like a Landry-like pullback or a TKO, something like that, you're looking for a kind of a shorter term move. It's from a swing trade perspective. And you're also looking at what's going on bigger picture, but the pattern itself usually sets up over a few days to maybe a week or so. But something like an IPO, I tend to be a little bit more lenient. And this is a first deep retracement. It started out as a TKO, but you can see you got nice Landry light, and then you had the TKO move down, which in this case, it was kind of a textbook TKO. And in a case like that, you put your entry above the high, stop below the low. And a lot of times, the beauty of that textbook TKO, especially when they're closing their butt like this, is that sometimes they'll just keep on going and you never get a trigger. So no capital gets put into harm's way, which is, it's kind of hard to, I don't know if it's proven negative, but it's hard to prove that, I guess technically you could say, you look at money that you would have lost just jumping in. But the point I'm making is with a textbook TKO like that, sometimes it keeps you out of a lot of trouble. And the flip side, the good thing is if they do trigger, sometimes the stock just keeps on going because a lot of people get knocked out, a lot of shorts rush in, and then they get squeezed out. Anyway, this formed a Landry-like pullback. That's when the price comes down to touch the moving average. In this case, I'm using the 30 EMA. There's all the parameters. Entry is here. Stop is down here. And initial profit target is up here. I may have forgotten to blank out the symbol. So you got a free symbol today. anyway, what's kind of cool here is this is what I call the die and fly. And this is what I was trying to explain to one of my gym friends today. And we'll get to that in a second. But can you see the shirt now? Bad. Okay, that's not a good sign. There it is. I don't know if what he's the word hope, but I'm kind of thinking this is what might happen with SpaceX is it dies out, goes sideways forever, then takes off again. And there was somebody in the webinar, his name escapes me. It might have been, is it Bill McKinney or Doug McKinney? I forget his name, but anyway, he would often joke the best time to buy an IPO is when it crosses back above its 200-day moving average. And he was being a little tongue in cheek by saying that, but he might have what he's saying might have some merit with something like SpaceX. And we'll get to that in just one second. But anyway, this was a die and then fly type of pattern. So again, it's the first deep retracement, big picture cup and handle. I still think it has potential, but we'll see. All right, let's shift gears. And I like to do a timing the market when we're not too far away from all-time highs or actually banging out all-time highs. So it doesn't come across as being after the fact. But you can go in, and a lot of the slides from today's presentation, or at least a few of them, came from a presentation I did 5 years ago, and the market was making new highs back then or whatever. But anyway, I do like to, and I wasn't expecting today to be down so much. So I don't want to look like I'm like chasing the market down or anything, but the market's been kind of rolling over slowly as a process. And I'll talk about that in one second for a while. But anyway, I want to talk about timing the market. And what's amazing is you tell people that markets go up and markets go down, and they look at you like you pooed your pants, you know? But when the market starts going down, they try to justify or reason why it should not be going down. So markets go up, markets go down. And of course, markets sometimes go sideways. And I have the up, down, and sideways arrows printed on my arm. And I'm showing my 87-year-old friend who was justifying why SpaceX should start going up. I explained to him where we were, and I pointed to the one in the middle, which is the down arrow. Now, again, when a market goes down, many try to justify and rationalize. They fail to see what is. Now, one thing to remember is if a market never went down, then there would be no market. Everybody would just pile into it, right? But markets have to go up, have to go down, or I should say, have to occasionally go down. It's all part of the process. Now, markets often will lull you into a false sense of security that it'll always come back. I remember 7 years ago, I think it was about 7 years ago. Wow, time flies. We were moving into this house and we were picking up the U-Haul, and the guy in the office was watching CNBC, and I said, "Oh, you're in the markets or whatever." And he's kind of, like he's Mr. Expert. So I'm like, "Okay, I'm not gonna mess with him or whatever." And he told me, because the market had just had a pretty serious slide, he goes, "Man, I'm glad I held through that last slide. I wish I'd have bought more." And I was thinking to myself, "That'll work until it don't." But experience is the best teacher. We have time for a story? I guess we do. When I was a kid, there was a kid next to me. He was a couple years older, and we as growing up as a coon ass, everybody had a boat, you know. Everybody had a boat in their driveway, and we would go out water skiing or fishing or whatever. But one day we were water skiing, and I had just gotten back in the boat, and then I was on the helm or whatever. And there were these kids, and they were playing on this huge block of styrofoam. It had floated off from a pipeline. They float these pipelines out with this big box of styrofoam. And when I was a kid, I remember we'd go buy these styrofoam surfboards from the grocery store. We were down in Grand Isle. My family had a camp down there. And we would surf all day. But by the end of the day, it would like rub your nipples off. Styrofoam doesn't seem that abrasive, but believe me, it is. And you couldn't sleep, you couldn't have a sheet touch you, and it's just the most horrible thing ever. And these kids were just sliding all over that thing and jumping on and then sliding down and holding on and rolling over, doing all this other stuff. So I start motoring over to them, and My buddy goes, what are you doing? I said, oh, I explained to him the chafed nipple story and everything. And I said, I'm going to go tell those kids they're going to end up with chafed nipples if they keep doing that. And he casually reached over, grabbed the wheel, and he pointed me away from them. And he said, experience is the best teacher. So an experience is usually what you get right after you need it the most. But anyway, that always stuck with me at such a young age. I was probably maybe 14 years old, if that old. Anyway, this is a slide from a few years back, 2023. And I was at a party at a friend of mine's house. And one of the ladies there came up to me and said, I'm really worried about the market. And I probably went through a little spiel or whatever. And I don't know, you know me, I probably try to tell about market timing or something. Or markets go up, markets go down, whatever. Doesn't always go up, blah, blah, blah. And a few months later, I saw her and she said, my guy did a pretty good job last year. So the market was tanking and she was panicking a little bit. And then all of a sudden, she's like, my guy did a really good job. So her thinking is that just to hold on forever. And she's also thinking that because the market came back, her guy is brilliant, and it doesn't work that way, and it doesn't always come back. So market timing only works when the market doesn't snap right back. So if we go back to the 20s, you can see that the stock market during the Great Depression lost 90% of its value, nearly. Now you might be thinking, well, that was then, but this is now. Well, just go back to the year 2000. I'm from the 1900s, so I remember this. The NASDAQ lost nearly 80% of its value. I think that's important for people to see that. Now, as I preach, market timing is less about beating the market and more about not letting the market beat you. 50% or more haircuts are not that uncommon, okay? And as Greg Morris used to say, let's say you got $1 million saved for retirement, and all of a sudden you got it all in the market. All of a sudden we go through a bear market, and now you got $500,000. Well, your retirement has just changed drastically, or let's say $2 million and $1 million. I guess nowadays $2 million and $1 million. Your whole retirement has completely changed. So it's very important to get out of the way when the time comes. So this indicator down below, or just I guess in this case it really is an illustrator, just shows you how far away the market is from its closing high, okay? And once you get above 10% away from that, or below 10%, but above 10% from the closing high, okay, or once the market drops 10%, you need to think about getting out of the way, because if a market is going to lose half of its value, as it occasionally does, and by the way, I think with all the derivatives out there and leverage and more derivatives and more derivatives, I think that these market spills are going to be greater in frequency and in magnitude, okay? So when I say the market occasionally, or not so occasionally, I guess, loses at least half its value, it does. And it's quite amazing when you start looking at it. But anyway, I have the line drawn here at 50%. So you can see these are pretty serious drops in the market. Obviously, that's back in the 30s, right? You lost almost 90%. And then there's been some other pretty big spills throughout history. And these two were fairly close, 2000, 2008, right? And then around the pandemic time, it got pretty ugly pretty fast. And yeah, it snapped right back. And a lot of people, I'm sure, were glad they held. But did they do the right thing? So experience is the best teacher, but not always when it comes to markets. after that long, silly story, right? So if we zoom in a little bit, obviously, we had a pretty serious slide back in 2019 and 2020. That was the COVID slide. And yeah, we did come right back, but there was no indication at the time that we would. And then in 2023, we had a pretty serious slide. So occasionally the market has some pretty serious spills. A while back during one of those slides, I think it was the one before COVID, I work out in a little, I used to work out with a couple of buddies, which I'm grateful for. It got me back into working out. COVID kind of changed that. I ended up back in the gym. But anyway, one of the guys that worked out with us, he often talked about having a guy, you know, that looked after his money, whatever. And so when things got a little iffy, I said, you know, you might want to talk to your guy. And he immediately got defensive with me and said, hey, my guy's done really well. I'm up like 60% since I started with him. I'm like, okay, I was just telling you that the market's looking a little iffy. I don't know if your guy does any market timing, but you might want to ask. You might want to make an inquiry. Of course, he doesn't time the market. He just sticks all your money into an S&P fund or whatever and overcharges you for doing that. And I went in and looked at the period of time he was talking about, and I think the S&P was up like 65% during that time. So it's like his guy did okay, I guess. I mean, I guess after fees, you know, didn't quite beat the market, but did okay. Now, when you boil it all down, it all boils down to supply and demand, and that's it, okay? And people try to confuse the issue with facts by bringing up the situation in Nigeria. I guess now it's the Strait of Hormuz or who knows what, right? But the bottom line is supply and demand, okay? Is there demand for stocks or is there supply for stocks or is supply meeting demand? If that's the only thing you learn about markets because it's true, okay, or comic books or classic cars or coins or whatever, okay, it all boils down to supply and demand. Now, as I've said quite often, Tom McClellan's mother, Mary McClellan, said everyone uses timing in their investing. Some people buy when they have money. Some people sell when they need money. And others use far more sophisticated methods. So demand might be some people have money, okay? We had a great run after COVID because the government gave out all this money. And as I've said before, you had kids who had, like college kids, for instance, who had their room and board covered by their generous parents. And all of a sudden, they got pockets full of money. And that's when they ran out to the Robinhood accounts. And the accounts, Robinhood assets, I don't know if you call it assets of the management, but the amount of money they have from people in their trading accounts just like doubled or tripled or whatever during that COVID time. Now, supply, of course, people need money. As I've said 1,000 times before, Dick Fruth used to work at a brokerage office when he first started out, where they still actually handled the shares of the stocks. And people come in and give the shares, and he would, and most of the curmudgeons, as he calls them, in the office would snatch them out of their hands. And Dick's a little more gregarious than that. He'd sit him down, chat him up, get him a cup of coffee, and like, why are you selling? Oh, I'm getting married, I'm getting divorced, I'm buying a house, I'm doing this or whatever. And rarely did anyone say they don't like what's going on with the company, if at all, okay? And that's hard for people to wrap their head around. Trading traders, not markets, right? Now, there might be some new technology promise, okay? Space exploration, data centers in outer space, you know? Or wait a minute. How can you put a data center in outer space? That sounds like a lot of trouble. Or technology might become obsolete, right? So they could be improving economy. Now, this perception, okay? The new technology, for instance, is going to be the promise. So when we look at some of these charts here in a few minutes, we could see that we'll see that speculation ran rampant. And that's because everyone was believing that we'll never have enough DRAM chips. Never, okay? Semiconductors are going to go through the moon to the moon because we're going to the moon or whatever. Everything's on perception and promise. Now, there could be a worsening economy or the perception of a worsening economy. Government liquidity, the government pumped all that COVID money in. Government removing liquidity, rising interest rates or whatever. So that's something you can't time off of, but it's one of the possible signs and signals there. And you might have some institutional interests and institutional dumping. And that's hard to quantify, but it's just a part of the demand or part of the supply. Could have favorable comments from people, famous analysts or whatever, or you could also have off-the-cuff remarks from someone who has a lot of off-the-cuff remarks. John Keynes once said, or at least it's attributed to him, that a market could stay irrational a lot longer than you could stay solvent. That last up leg we had, I'm sure a lot of shorts had a lot of good reasons to short it, right? But what happened? It kept going up and up and up and up and up. And everybody's all excited about the market. So technology of the future, boom. Yay, I'm going to put some data centers up in space. There'll never be enough DRAM. The largest IPO ever announced, and they bent the rules a little in the process. I'm not going to get into that, whether it's good or bad or whatever. It is what it is. More power to you, man. If you could bend the rules, knock yourself out. I'm totally okay with free markets, right? But it does seem whenever they try to manipulate things a little bit, kind of change the rules or bend the rules or whatever, that it tends to backfire as a general statement. I didn't just have an idea. My light was turned the wrong way. Now, as I've said recently quite a bit, when this market was going straight up, I've got an 87-year-old friend in the gym. He told me that he started day trading. His wife had a medical incident. He says, I find myself at home more and more now, so I started day trading. I'm like, oh, God, that's like a fat lady singing type of signal. I'm a man in the streets kind of guy. Now, you can't time off of that, but it is a data point, right, that needs to be cataloged. And he was also looking to buy SpaceX pre-IPO. He got 50 shares. Another friend in the gym, 71-ish, I think, he says, I take my money out, but my balance never goes down. And he's another one of those guys in there that's all about his guy, okay? And his guy is with a very retail, what would you call it, financial planner type of guy. Those guys do have their purpose. I don't want to beat them up too much. But taking credit for a bull market, I don't know. Good news is good and bad news is good, okay? It seems like even if something bad happens, market doesn't, what me worry? Was it Alfred E. Newman? Now, paternalism removed, okay? Recently, they got away with the pattern day trade rule, right? So you can make as many day trades as you want. They also shortened, of course, this happened a little while ago, but they also shortened the settlement period too. So you used to make a trade, it took 3 days to settle. And unless you were a pattern day trader and had more than $25,000 in your account, you couldn't make more than, I think it was 3 day trades in 4 days or something like that. So that paternalism has recently been removed. And that's great. I love free markets. I'm not a big fan of regulation. I think everybody should, within reason, as long as you're not harming anybody, you should be able to do what you want, right? Now, before I say the word bear market, I guess I just did. Keep in mind, I hope we do not go into a bear market, okay? So people get mad at me when I'm bearish. It's like, you're always bearish. I'm like, that's my mother-in-law imitation there. Like, no, you only ask me about the market when it's down 30% and dropping like a stone. So I don't want us to go into bear market. It's a lot easier to make money in a bull market. A bull market also covers a lot of sins, covers a multitude of sins. You can get a little careless, a little sloppy. You can go after some mediocre setups. And then when you do catch some really nice winners, you just ride them forever and you print money. But just in case, you have to be a little skeptical here and there, especially when there are signs and signals. And so, again, as I said earlier, it's like you want to be proactive before the bomb blows up. And I hate that, like that lady earlier. Now, it did come right back, so maybe I'd have done more harm than good with her. I guess in that particular case, I would have. But I think it's important to understand that markets go up and markets can go down and they can go really down. And she had just retired too. And all of a sudden, her retirement was evaporating in front of her eyes. So now it did come back, but maybe if you get out of the way and take that 10% hit or whatever it is where you get your signal, and then you could always get back in, right? Get back in when things improve again. You'll avoid those huge drawdowns. Now, if you look at like the TFM 10% system, it doesn't knock the cover off the ball, right? It's like not the most impressive thing in the world as long as the market's going up, right? It's keeping you in the market as the market's going up. But when the market tanks and buy and hold gets decimated, then the losses are roughly about 10% or so with the system. And you could survive that loss, okay? What's Greg Morris say? You might get whipsawed. Okay, let's assume this lady earlier got out of the market and then got back in. She took a hit, but got back in. Whipsaws are frustrating. Bear markets are devastating. You could survive frustration. So that's one way of looking at it. All right, so is there a bear market ahead? Well, before we talk about that, let's take a 30,000 foot view. And I updated this chart a few minutes ago just to see if it looked much different. So these zones in here were inspired by one of my clients. So my thinking again is if we're 10% more away from the 50-week closing high, the market's in trouble. One of my clients pointed out to me that he gets a little cautious when he's 5% or more away. I don't know if Jeff's here today, but 5% away from that 50-week closing high. So the green zone is you're within 5% of the 50-week closing high. The light pink zone means you're 5% or more away from it. And Jim in the Facebook group pointed out this morning that the NASDAQ is there. We could look at that when we get to the live charts. And then 10% or more is when you need to think about getting out of the market. And the whole system is a close to get out, at least a sell is a close below the 50-week moving average and 10% or more away from the 50-week closing high. So, like right here, let's say the market closed right above this moving average, that would not be a sell. But if it closed down here below the moving average, it would be sell. Now, the moving average is above the 10% line. Okay. So the 10% line, just a close below that would be a sell. But right now we're in that don't worry, be happy zone. So I think it is good to take a 30,000 foot view. It's also good to pay attention to signs and signals. Okay. Speculation recently ran rampant. Okay. And now everybody's starting to cool off, and bad news is now bad, and good news is now bad to some extent. The other thing is, there's a lot of other signs we're going to take a look at right now. So, even though all these other signs are there, bigger picture wise, we're still okay as long as we're in that zone. Now, there has been quite a bit of a change in price and enthusiasm, okay? So, you can see going back a couple of months, the market is negative. It's been choppy and toppy. So net price change is negative. That's one of the most powerful things you can do when it comes to markets is look at the net price change. I can't preach that enough. Technology of the future question. Now, how are you going to put a data center in the space? And believe me, I want to believe. Okay, I want to believe. Largest IPO ever fails. We'll get to that in just one second. 87-year-old looking to justify SpaceX. So he got his 50 shares. And this morning he was telling me that one of the launches failed, but only it was only because three of the 34 engines or whatever it was didn't fire. So they're going to go take a look at that. They're going to fix that. And then they got earnings coming out in a few weeks or whatever. So now it's starting to justify everything. Old leaders rolling over and not many exciting new leaders emerging. We're going to flesh that out in just 1 second. And again, good news is bad and bad news is bad. Now, some of these prior leaders are beginning to fail. Okay, semiconductors kind of making this gradual rollover. By the way, one thing that I probably would talk about a little bit in the newsletter is, again, you get so much good stuff from Greg Morris. Greg Morris once pointed out that market tops are more of a process, okay? And market bottoms are more of an event. It feels just the opposite because you come in a day like today, like, oh my God, the market's crashing. But it's been rolling over for quite some time. So here are the semiconductors. You can see just kind of gradually rolling over. And by the way, Greg Morris also said something kind of interesting. I think a market has never crashed like right after making all-time highs. So as long as you're at or near all-time highs, usually the market is okay. It doesn't mean that it might be in the process of rolling over, but it will give you the beauty of the process versus the event. Even go back to like 1987. If you get really bored, go look at your charts. Okay, the market was like, it's kind of gradually rolling over in 87, and then all of a sudden it crashed. But anyway, semiconductors, no forward progress in quite some time. They pulled back a little bit, and we now have bow tie, downtrend, proper order. Uptrend is 10 simple, greater than 20 exponential, greater than 30 exponential. And then when they flip over to downside, it suggests that the trend has changed or certainly in the process of changing. So now we have downside Landry Light, as you can see down here. Now let's go back to DRAM. Oh, let's see. Okay, DRAM, you can see within the semis has rolled over, has bow tied to downside. So the whole world was like, we'll never have enough DRAM. And all of a sudden, DRAM has rolled over. Quantum computing, everybody's excited about quantum computing. It's rolled over, and now it's setting up as a short to the downside, pull it back a little bit in here. And you can see you have about six bars since the moving averages have crossed over. Now, about the only thing for me to get excited about out there, because I can't get that excited about a REIT. I can't get excited. I mean, a bank is not going to cure some hard disease or put a data center in space or whatever. An HMO, healthcare type of stock, they're not going to really do something, or insurance stock or whatever, those few little areas that are leading. Biotechnology might, okay? Biotechnology does have the promise of the future, okay? But it can't seem to get off its butt just yet from this pullback. It still looks bullish to me. It still looks fantastic. But it so far, it's just pulling back and has not rallied out of that pullback. Now, of course, SpaceX, right? In my IPO course, which is still on sale, by the way, I go through different type of scenarios to watch out for. And I don't know why I didn't talk about this a lot more before SpaceX came out. So you could say, okay, well, that makes sense. But SpaceX was a fly and die. Now, SpaceX came public or pre-public at 135. Okay. My friend from the gym, he got 50 shares at 135. Okay. Now, initially it took off and ran to 230 or so, somewhere in there. So it's like, all right. And that's what I call the fly. Okay. But then what happened? It found its high. And when did it find its high? On the third day of trading. What do I say about IPOs quite often? They often find their high by the fifth day during the first week of trading, the fifth trading day, first week, or on day one, many times day one. And if you get bored, go through your IPOs and you're going to be shocked at how many found their high on day one. And go back, I think it was last week I talked about IPOs, a week before, and I showed quite a few of them. I just went through my charts right before I went live and grabbed a half a dozen of them. And it's quite amazing. That simple rule, never buy an IPO until at least the close of day five. we'll keep you out of a lot of trouble. Anyway, so far SpaceX is no bueno. You know, this kid, he aged, he got bigger and more depressed, right? Well, that'll do it to you. Markets will do it to you, believe me. All right, so keep an eye out on your bow ties and your Landry line, okay? So another Greg thing I learned from Greg is whenever a market closes below an exponential moving average, that moving average will turn down on that same day, okay? So as long as the close stays below the moving averages will continue to come together. So we could get a bow tie to the downside. Now, with bow ties, the proper order is a good thing to kind of help keep in the right side of the market. But I'm more concerned about a switch in proper order when you're coming off of all-time highs or major, major, major lows. Now, we were at a 1-year low here, maybe a little bit less, 6 or 8 month low here. And not that you should ignore this signal, but it's not as powerful as a signal that's coming off an all-time high. So the idea with transitions is to catch a transition and trend from a much, much longer-term downtrend at very low levels or a much, much longer-term uptrend at higher levels. So you want to be in at the first signs of that reversal. Now, bow ties do have a little lag built into them on purpose, so you're not, you know, selling right off the high. But it does pay to pay attention. You can see that we're kind of rolling over a little bit in here. Now, NASDAQ Composite, we now have downside Landry light there. 5 days so far, that's 1 week below that 50-week. I'm sorry, below that 30 EMA. Highs are less than the EMA. Back here, you see lows greater than EMA. Bar 1, bar 2, bar 3. 1, 2, 3, and so on and so forth with this histogram. And this is actually kind of bullish when you pull back here, but it just failed to materialize, okay? So if you zoom in a little bit, it's a little easier to see the highs less than the moving average, and this is the count down here. All right, once again, I still have a sale on my IPO course, and you get a 6-month gold membership, which is the same price as being on the IPO course on sale, which also has access to the Facebook group, which has been a godsend for me in more than one way. Like I said earlier, trading is a lonely sport. It's good to see other people out there. It's good to have more than one set of eyes on the market. I might not agree with the way other people are doing things or whatever, but it does help to give me some perspective. So Facebook, again, the group has really been a godsend. All right, let's take a look at crypto. I really haven't done a whole lot in crypto lately, and I'm always preaching to do your homework, but I really haven't done a lot of homework in crypto. It seems like every time I do, I'm like, there's nothing here to do. So let me get that shared. So Bitcoin's getting kind of creamed today, and this is one of the I kind of saw this as a fat lady singing type of signal because Bitcoin is speculative, obviously, and it's been headed lower, okay? So that tells me that the speculation bloom is off the rose, so to speak, okay? Now, it's bounced up a little bit. It's getting whacked today. So I would leave it alone. It's got all this overhead supply and all this other stuff to deal with. So I don't see any reason to go after Bitcoin at this juncture. Ethereum is looking as bad or worse. It's improved a little bit lately, but it has tons and tons of overhead supply. So I don't see any reason to go after that. As I say ad nauseam, I'll just do this real quick, get it out of the way. Sometimes when Bitcoin is doing really well, as kind of your bellwether, you can come in here and just buy these pairs that are going straight up. Like, I'm not going to do it today, but this, like, something like this would catch my eye. And it's a little crazy to buy them when they're going straight up like this. I realize that. But sometimes you can go in and within hours, sometimes you can get like a 20% move out, get that stop to break even, and then trail your stop higher. But now's really not the time to spend a lot of time playing that relative strength game. When they're all really, really moving. They're all banging out new highs and Bitcoin's doing well. Sometimes you can go in and take those trades. So I'm really, really not going to feel any FOMO for missing that, just that one that's blasting higher today. But the point is, sometimes when the market's doing really well, you can play the relative strength game and do really well. And as I mentioned before, the same guy I was talking to earlier, he's told me that in the past, there's been a couple of big, great bull market runs that he's taken my Landry list and put into a little app on his phone and just would stay long the top two or three or four or whatever stocks in the Landry list all day long. And he says that he paid for two down payments on two of his investment properties doing that. So I'm very, very flattered, but it was also fantastic, incredible market conditions. And something like the Landry 100 could probably work well with a momentum thing like that, but only if, of course, the market is really moving. All right, any questions on crypto pairs? Anybody want to bring any up? I doubt there's anything there. All right, let's shift gears. Let's just take a quick look at the markets. Is there anything that you guys want me to, any individual stocks should we take a look at? So since we already sort of covered the market, I'm just going to go through this really quick. I guess the first thing to do is take a look at the Landry 100. Now, the Landry 100, like I just said, some of these new areas, you can see biotech is still the most slots, but it's beginning to drop off because some of these stocks are beginning to lose some steam in here. Like this one here, this might come off later today, okay? Those look pretty good. That one looks questionable. Okay, it's come right back in. So that'll probably come off. So the stocks that are doing well aren't quite as exciting as the DRAM stocks and the semiconductors and the quantum computings and all those other stocks that we had here not that long ago. Now, it's interesting that all equipment and services has come back and it's starting to get a few slots in here. This is the example I used this morning. Surprises tend to happen in the direction of the trend. Okay, nice big move up there today. But there's no more, it's kind of interesting. There's one semiconductor, AMD. That's the only one that's left. Okay. And it's flat from when I put it in June. So if that begins to break down below the 50 and doesn't make a whole lot of forward progress, that'll probably come out. Keep in mind, the semiconductors were the biggest piece of the pie not that long ago, and now there's only a few there, or just one, I should say. So anyway, this is the Landry 100. It's a great exercise in as far as seeing where the money's flowing or not. If it reach a point where I can't find 100 stocks, like last week we had 99 for a few days, then that would suggest that momentum is beginning to wane, and it is. And then I'm having to go further and further down volatility. I sort my tradable universe by 50-week high, okay? But first I sort it by volatility. I sort it by 50-day historical volatility. And then I do a secondary sort on distance away from the 52-week highs. And I'm only looking at the ones that are making 52-week highs. Now, as I've said before, if we get into a prolonged, choppy, and God forbid, bear market, I might have to lower those parameters a little bit and look at maybe 90-day highs or something like that. But for now, if I can't find enough, I'm okay with accumulating some cash slots. Cash is treated as an asset, cash. And cash is a position. There's nothing wrong with cash, right? I feel pretty good by, I don't think I have any longer term stock positions on at the moment, especially with the core methodology. I have zero on with the core methodology, and we'll see what happens. We'll probably put on some shorts fairly soon. And if the market turns around and goes straight back up, we'll probably start getting long, or we will start getting along. But anyway, it's okay to sit in your hands a bit. I don't think there's much more to cover here. Again, if you have any stocks or anything, let me know. Please tell us what a crypto pair is. Okay, a crypto pair could be what they call an altcoin, or Bitcoin would be a crypto pair. So it's It's the coin or the token versus the US dollar. And if you could look at it versus Australian dollar and different dollars, whatever, but I call it a pair because it's just like a Forex pair. You look at that British pound versus the dollar, or one versus another, whatever, pound versus Aussie. I haven't done a lot of crypto. I haven't done much Forex trading in a while, so I forget the lingo, but those are pairs too. So a crypto pair would be cryptocurrency. These altcoins, I'm trying not to demonetize this week, but it's spelled with silent SH, coins is what they call them, because they usually are. So when the crypto market moves, it can be a godsend. And unfortunately, it hasn't moved in a while, but it used to have about a 4 to 6 to 8 week bull bear cycle. And it was a wonderful vehicle to get your feet wet and learn how to trade, because they really do trade on emotions only. There's no pesky fundamentals to fudge things up. Let's see what SpaceX is. So SpaceX banged out some new lows earlier today. It's since bounced from that. But that's a, don't try to catch a falling knife. So my little gym buddy was like, should I buy some more? I'm like, don't try to catch a falling knife. And I pointed to my arm and showed them the one that said downtrend. So again, went through most of these. One thing that I didn't show you earlier is that a lot of these areas that tried to emerge as new leaders, like major drugs, got thwarted at their prior highs. Defense would be another one of those. You can see it's bouncing a little today, but it got thwarted at its prior highs. And this is just kind of electrocardiogram. Look, it's all over the place. So be careful if you go after anything there and in any of these other areas. Now, as I said, the less exciting areas like the banks still look okay. So for they're pulling back. But keep an eye on the prior little breakout levels. If they take out this prior peak in here decisively, then all bets are off. Insurance, those areas, it still looks okay. But it's kind of hard to get excited about insurance. Again, watch the prior peak here, which is a little bit below the 30 EMA. But anything below 30 EMA, I would begin to worry a little bit. Refiners are doing pretty good. So we're getting more and more of these Ledger 100. And energies overall have been picking up a little bit as of late. Oil service still looks questionable. So oil service still looks like it's poised to make a new leg lower. But in general, energies, I'll just punch up the XLE real quick, have been improving. Okay, any individual stocks you guys want to take a look at? So energies overall have been improving as of late. So we could see some refineries, biotechnology, and really not a whole lot else setting up soon. Health service banks, you know, but we'll see. I'll trade anything. Someone once said that if I heard intravenous drug use was going on, going up, that I'd be buying needles. You know, I don't know. I don't think I'm that bad, but drug use is not going up, is it? Okay. Anything? Any questions? Going once, going twice. Well, obviously, I want to thank all you guys and girls for attending. I appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. Anything unanswered? DavidDaveLandry.com. I'll see, I think everybody here is in Facebook, so I'll see you guys there in a little while. Everybody else, hope to see you again next Thursday. Have a great weekend, and may the trend be with you. Thank you. You're welcome.